Today's daf is Chulin daf Kuf Yud Zayin, and we will begin from the Mishnah on the last line of daf Kuf Tes Zayin Amud Beis. Today's daf is being learnt as a Schus Refuah Shleima for Shlomo Ben Sora Aliza. So we know that not all parts of a kosher animal is kosher. There's the chelev, certain fats of the animal that are not kosher. The dam of a kosher animal is not kosher. The gitanosha is not kosher. The chelev and the dam are unique, that in addition to them being macholos asurois, they carry the oinesh chamur of karas. So if somebody eats chelev of a kosher animal, or if somebody eats dam of a kosher animal, if he does it b'mezid, he's chayiv karas. If he does it b'shoigig, like all chayve krisos b'shoigig, he would have to bring a karban chatas. So chelev and dam of a kosher animal are similar, in that they both are chayve krisos, and they both b'shoigig are chayve chatas. Stating that, says the Mishnah, that although chelev and dam are very similar, they're not the same. Chomer bechelev yibedam, vechomer bedam yibechelev. Chelev has a chomer that dam doesn't have, and dam has a chomer that chelev doesn't have. Chomer bechelev, chelev has a chomer, shachelev moyalim boy. If somebody would have hana'a, the shear of a shava pruta, of the chelev, of a behema that's kachin, he would violate the Issa Me'ilo, which means if he did a B'shoigig, he would have to bring the special Karban Oshem, the Hashem Me'ilo is with the Keren and the Chaimish, etc. Additionally, V'chayovin Olam Mishum Pigol, the Noiser V'tame. The Chelev of a Behema that's Kachim is subject to the laws of Pigol, to the laws of Noiser, and to the laws of Tame, which means that if you have a Karban that's Pigol, where the halach is if somebody eats it, he's Chayiv Karas, even if someone would eat the Chelev, he would be Chayiv Karas. If you have a Karban that's Noisar, if somebody eats the chelev, he'd be over the iser noisar. And if somebody's tamei and he eats the chelev of a carbon, the halach is he would be chayev karis for that as well. Machayki medam, as opposed to dam. By dam, there's no meila, and dam is not subject to the laws of pigul noisar and tamei. Chayev medam. What's the chumah that dam has over chelev? Shadam noig be behemah v'chayah. Dam is noig by behemahs and chayas. It's the oif bein tamei and bein tayer, whether they're kosher animals or non-kosher animals. Chelev bein noig el behemah tayer v'vada, as opposed to chelev, which is only noig by behemoth tires. So again, even though chelev and dam are very similar, but they each have their own chumras over the other. Chelev has a chumra that it's subject to the laws of me'ila, pigol, noiser, tamei. These are real festa, kachim, sugyas. They all relate to the chelev of a carbon as opposed to dam. Dam has a chumra in that dam is noig by behema, it's noig by a chaya, it's noig by an oif. It doesn't matter if it's a kosher behema chayav oif, doesn't matter if it's a non-kosher behema chayav oif, as opposed to chelev, which is only noig by behema, and even that, only by a kosher behema. Says the Gemara, mino hani mili. The first chumra that was mentioned in this Mishnah was a chumra that chelev has over dam, and that is that this me'ila by chelev. And the Gemara's question, Minan Yimili, is that it's mashma that the chelev of all karbonos are subject to the laws of Me'ila, not only Kachay Kadashim. And the truth is that the Torah, when it talks about the halach of Me'ila, the Torah refers to the Kachim as Kachay Hashem. And Chazal understood Kachay Hashem to mean Kachay Kachim. Stating that, from the Mishnah it sounds like, the laws of Me'ila relate to all chelev, even the chelev of Kachim Kalim. Now Kachim Kalim is not Kachay Hashem. Why not? So Rashi says, because Kachim Kalim is Mamim Bailamu, which sounds a little bit like Shitas Rabbi Yosef Lili throughout Shas, who holds that Kachim Kalim is Mamim Bailamu. But regardless, the Gemara's question is, how do you know that even Kachim Kalim, which is Mamim Bailam, it's not Kachay Hashem, has the halachos of Me'ilos, as the Gemara Amr Abiyane. The Amar Krabbe goes, the Pasuk says, Kashi Yuram Mishar Zevach HaShlomim. The context is the par Koyim Mashiach. That's the special par that the Kohen Gadol had to bring if he did an Avera B'shoigig Shezdoinoi Kores. And the Torah says that he has to bring a par. And then the Torah says that when he brings this par, you take the chalavim, and there's a bunch of emurim that have to be burnt on the mizbeach, like every chatas, right? Some of it is eaten by the kayanim, and some of it had to be burnt on the mizbeach. And then the Torah says that you should be makted emurim kashiyuram mishar zevach hashlom. Just like you makted emurim of the shlomim, so too you should be makted emurim of the chatas. And the Gemara asks, v'chimalob madnu mishar zevach hashlom. What are we learning from the shlomim? What does the Torah mean when it says that be makted emurim of the par koyim mashiach, just like you're being makted emurim of the Shor Zevach HaShlomim? If it's coming to tell me which Emurim is supposed to be Makter, the Torah already said that. If you go through the Pasuk says exactly what you're supposed to be Makter, and then the Torah says, just like you Makter the Emurim of the Shlomim, so too you should be Makter the Emurim of the Chatas. What is that coming to be Marpa? to tell me which emurim the Torah already specified. Which emurim? Says the Gemara, even though the simple reading of the pasuk seems to be saying that Shlomim is teaching something to Parakoy Mashiach, really it's in the reverse. The reason the Torah mentioned Kasha Yura Mishar Zavach HaShlomim is to teach me Halacha regarding Shlomim. That there's something in Chatos that you would have thought does not relate to Shlomim, that does relate to Shlomim. What is that? Makishar Zavach HaShlomim, the Parakoy Mashiach, Parakoy Mashiach Yish Ben Ilah, just like the Parakoy Mashiach has Me'ilah, because it's Kachi Kedoshim, and Kachi Kedoshim are for sure Kachi Hashem, are for sure subject to the Halachas of Me'ilah, Afshar Zavach HaShlomim, Yish Ben Me'ilah. So too, a carbon Shlomim, even though it's Kachim Kalim, still it's going to be subject to the halachas of Mila. So the question was, Minani Mili, how do you know that a shlomim, which is kachim kalim, it's chalovim, are subjects of to the halachas of Mila? The Teretz says it's learned out from a pasuk in Parshas Vayikra that talks about the parakoyim Mashiach. The Torah relates the emurim of the parakoyim Mashiach to the emurim of the shlomim, which really teaches me nothing. Must be hareza ba lilamed v'nim tzolamed. Instead of learning something about the parakoyim Mashiach from the shlomim, we learned something about the Shlomim from the Parakoy Mashiach, specifically. The Parakoy Mashiach is Kachi Kedashim, it's subject to the laws of Me'ilah. The Shlomim is going to be subject to the laws of Me'ilah as well. Amalei Rab Chanina. So Rab Chanina told Rab Yanai, very nice Pshat, but Ku'ur Azush Hashanah Rebbe, is there something wrong with the Pshat that Rebbe said? It says in the Torah, Kol Chelav Hashem, and we learn from the Rabbis, the Emurim Kachim Kalim Me'ilah. Kol Chelav Hashem is extra, and it's coming to teach me even the Emurim of Kachim Kalim. So what do you need this Pasuk to tell me that kachim kalim, such as a shlomim, is subject to the laws of Me'ilah? It's a mafurisha riboy in the parasha of chalavim that says kol chelav l'Hashem, that even a murid kachim kalim are subject to Me'ilah. Rabbi, it's because Rachmana chelav, had we only had that second drasha, I would have thought chelav in yisrael shtei klal yisrael. I would have thought the chalavim of shlomim go on the mizbeach, despite the are subject to Me'ilah, despite the fact that it's kachim kalim. But what about the emurim that are not chalavim? Meaning there were four chalavim that were included in the emurim that went on the mizbeach. But in addition to the four chalavim, there were other parts of the animal that also went on the mizbeach. For example, the yoseres v'shtei hakloyos, the yoseres, which is the diaphragm, the shtei hakloyos, the two kidneys, which also went on the mizbeach. You can't be marba that from kol chelav l'Hashem. Kol chelav l'Hashem is being marba the chalavim of the shlomim, that they're included in the halachas of Me'ilah. But what about the emurim that are not? That's why Nikashirim to tell me that all the emurim of the chatas applied to the shlomim as well, not only the chalav. Because Rachman Kashrim, I only had Kashrim Abba, I mean, I would have thought chalav alya, the lesser bishar loy, the chalav of the alya, the chalav of the tail, which is not existent by the shar. I would have thought that being that it does not go on the mizbeach, so by the shlomim, it shouldn't go on the mizbeach either. Because Rachman Kol chalav, to tell me that even the chalav alya, so there's two drashas to teach me that the chalavim of the shlomim of kachim kalim are subject to the halachas of Me'ilah. Why do I need both? So the Gemara, it's a tzrichas, why I need both. If I only had one, I wouldn't know the Aseres and Shtei HaKovin. If I only had the other one, I would not know the Chelav HaAliyah. Between the two, I know that all the Emurim, whether it's the Chalavim, whether it's the Chelav of the Aliyah, whether it's the Aseres and the Shtei HaKloyos, any part of the emurim of the carbon shlomim are subject to the laws of Me'ilah. Amalei Rav Mari, the Rav Zvid, says the Gemara, I alya ikri chelav titzabachilo. If you're telling me that kol chelav l'Hashem is coming to be mar by the chelav of the alya, that's what the Gemara came out in the Cheshbon. So if that's the case, then the chelav of the alya, the chelav of the tail, should be included in the isser chelav as well, which says that if somebody eats chelav, certain chalavim, he's chayiv kares. And we know that you're allowed to eat the chelav of the alya. So he told him, Alecha Makra, the answer is, it says, Kol Chelev Shar V'Chesev V'Eiz, Dover HaShav V'Shar V'Chesev V'Eiz. The only type of Chelev that is Aser is Chelev that the Shar, the Kesev, and the Eiz all have. And being that the Chelev Ha'Aliyah is only by the Kesev, you don't have it by the Shar and the Eiz. That's why, even though we're being Marba Chelev Ha'Aliyah to the halachas of Me'ilah and to the halachas of Akhtara, but at the same time, as it relates to the Isra Chelev, they're not going to be included. Vashem Rashi said a different teretz, Chelboi ha'alyo ikri, Chelev stomalo ikri. Chelev ha'alyo is called Chelev, but it's called Chelev ha'alyo. It has the surname. chelov alya. It's not called stam chelov. When the Torah talks about the isra chelov, the Torah talks about stam chelov. Chelov alya is not called stam chelov. Elam, you have to freak the Gemara lo yimaluba. That doesn't make sense, because if you're telling me that chelov alya can't be included in the isra chelov because it's called chelov alya and it's not called chelov, then how are you being marbeit from the pasuk that says kol chelov lashem? Kol chelov lashem is also stam chelov. So, Mamanavshach, if you can't be marba chelav ha'alya to the Isra chelav, then how could you be marba chelav ha'alya to the pasuk that says kol chelav lashem to tell me that there's going to be an Isra me'ila by the chelav ha'alya of kachem? Kalim elamachvaitik to Reb Zvid must be, you have to say, the teretz is like Reb Zvid. Either way, that concludes the first part of the dafs. Again, the Mishnah was discussing the differences between chelav and dam. Chelav and dam are very similar. They're both parts of a kosher animal that you're not allowed to eat. You have to do nikur to remove the chelev. You have to do melicha to remove the dam. They both carry a harsh punishment of karis, b'shoigeg. If you would eat either one of them, you'd have to bring a karban chatas. That's why throughout Shas, you find the chatas chelev and the chatas dam, chatas hayris, etc. Stating that, chomer b'chelev b'dam, v'chomer b'dam b'chelev. The first chomer that chelev had over dam is me'ilo. It sounded like that all karbanos, every karban, whether it's kachi kadoshim, or whether it's kachim kalim, whether it's kachim kedashim, which is kachay Hashem, or whether it's kachim kalim, which according to Rabbi Yosi Aglili is mamon vayilim. If somebody would have ana shava pruta, he would be subject to the laws of me'ila. L'chayre, how do you know that the emurim, the chelev of kachim kalim, have me'ila? At the end of the day, it boils down to two drashas. One is a pasuk in Parshas Vayikra, where the Torah talks about the parkoy Mashiach. The Torah says, take all the emurim, be makdir on the mizbeach, and then it says, kashayura mishar zavach hashlamim, which is teaching me nothing, must be areza bolo lamim v'nim tzolamim, that just like the chalavim of the parkoy Mashiach are kachi kadashim and are subject to the me'ilah, so to the chalavim of the shar zavach hashlamim are subject to me'ilah as well. Additionally, we have a pasuk of kol chelav lashem l'rabbi, is not only the chalavim of kachi kadashim, but even to be marba the chalavim kachim kalam. What do you need two drashas for? So the Gemara gave it srichas for that. Either way, so the Mishnah said that chelav chomer b'chelav b'dam, that chelav has me'ilah that we just discussed, the chayav and olam mishum pigol v'noisav v'tameh, and the subject to the laws of pigol v'noisav v'tameh, ma she'en came. How do you know that dam is not subject to the laws of me'ila? How do you know that dam is not subject to the halachas of pigul nais of etame? It's the first me'ila. Amar ula. Ula said, Amar Kod, the pasuk says, shelochem. It says, ki nefesh habasar badam hi. That's a real kachim pasuk. The Gemara learns Rika Shalabim Koimai from this pasuk. Zvachim Dav Chavav. So there's festa sugyas that come out of this pasuk. But for now, what we need is the pasuk refers to the dam of a carbon and says, Vanina Sativ Lochem Ala Mizbeach. What does Lochem mean? It's yours. Shalochem yehe. It's yours. Meaning there's no isim me'ilah. That if you would have hana from the dam, you wouldn't be over to the typical halacha me'ilah, which you would have if you'd be nana from kach. It says lechaper, lechaper, nesatav, lo me'ilah. That if this is something that his tachlis is kapara, and it's only with regards to kapara that it has kedusha. That's the beer in the drasha. But as it relates to me'ilah, it doesn't have kedusha. The whole kedusha is manifest as it relates to being mechaper. But as it relates to anything else, even me'ilah, who lifnei kapara kala acha kapara. It says ki adam hu banefesh yichaper. Who means it's always the same. Hu achashverish. He was a Russian b'tchilav atzayif, the Gemara says, right? So who lifnei kapar kalach kapar malach kapar eva milo? Just like after you do this rika, if somebody would have enough from the dam, he wouldn't be mayol. Af lifnei kapar eva milo. So too, if somebody would have ha. No, from the dam, before he did this Rika, there wouldn't be Mi'ilo either, says the Gemara. Why don't you say that dam is no different than any other part of the carbon? Therefore, it's subject to the laws of Mila. Ayat says who? Maybe who in the reverse. Meaning, you're assuming for sure la'acha kapara, there's no Mila. Thus, if you have who, if there's no Mila la'acha kapara, there can't be Mi'ilo lifnei kapara either. Because who means it's consistent? Well, how do you know? How do you know for sure that there's no me'ila lacha kapara? Maybe there is me'ila lacha kapara. And if that's the case, maybe dam has me'ila lifnei kapara, and it's consistently that way. Because even lacha kapara it has it. The Gemara says, that can't be. Because ein lecha davar shenasa mitzvah sayu mayalim bai. Because there's a principle in kachim that says that any chelik of a carbon, anything that's hektish, that is hektish for a purpose, and you fulfill the purpose with it, it loses its kedusha at that point. Or at the very least, it loses its kedusha as it relates to me'ila. So elocha davar shenasa mitzvasai umayilamai. So a carbon's tachlis is to be brought in the mizbeach. Once it's brought in the mizbeach, it loses its kedusha from the me'ila perspective. You can't be moyo in kachim after it was already nasis mitzvasai. So dam la'achas rikos nasis mitzvasai. So be that it's nasis mitzvasai, it's pasha, there's no me'ila. Who tells me that dam has to be consistent? Whatever dam is, la'acha kapar, it has to be lifnei kapar. If la'acha kapar, for sure, there's no me'ila, then lifnei kapar, there's not going to be me'ila. You're afraid to murder for life, but is that true? Is what true? That eloch adover shenasim mitzvasai umayelim boy. So the Gemara is going to digress for a little bit. Very trumas hadeshen that nasim mitzvasai umayelim boy. Trumas hadeshen. You find that even after you do the mitzvah of trumas hadeshen, still there's meila on the deshen itself. So what was trumas hadeshen? That was the first avoda that was done every single day in the Beis Hamikdash. Kohen would go up the ramp. They'd make a girl who should do the trumas hadeshen. He'd go up. He would take a scoop full of dashen and put it next to the mizbech. He wouldn't remove all the dashen, that would be a big job. But he'd take a little bit of dashen and he'd put it next to the mizbech. And Chazal say that the Torah says, V'somoy eitzel ha-mizbech, that was yesterday's kriya, and we learn from there, Mishum dahavoy, and we learn from there, V'somoy that has to remain there. Remain there meaning you can't benefit from it personally. Mechura is in the semilo. So you see that even though you did the mitzvah chumas hadeshen, still it could be a problem. So mechatesi, we're assuming this yesoid that elu chadava shenasis mitzvasim ma'olam boy. What about chumas hadeshen? So the Gemara, it's true. But mishum davoy chumas hadeshen ubig deikuna shnei ksuv ma'bon keechod v'chol shnei ksuv ma'bon keechod ein melamdin. It's true that chumas hadeshen is an example of a davash shenasis mitzvasim where you find mila. But the problem is that there's another place in the Torah where you also find a davash shenasis mitzvasai umayelam bay. And counterintuitively, if the Torah tells you something twice, it means you can't learn anything from it. Usually, if the Torah says something, you can learn from it. It's one of the Yud Gam Levi'ah Shatarin Adreshes Bam. It's called Binyanav, Mamotzino. But if the Torah says something two times, then you have the halach of Kol Shnei Ksuvim Haban Keachot Ema. What's the second time? The second time is regarding the Big Day Love and that the Kohen Gadol used to wear on Yom Kippur. So the Kohen Gadol couldn't enter the Kodesh HaKadoshim with the Big Day Zav. Ein Kategor Nasas HaNeger. Shouldn't remind the Kodesh Baruch Hu Kaviyochel of the Chet HaEgel. So therefore, before he entered the Kodesh HaKadoshim, he removed the Big Day Zav and he entered with the Big Day Love. What happened to the Big Day Love after Yom Kippur? So the Pasuk says, V'nicham Shah, and there's Machlokes in Shas, where the V'nicham Shah means it had to be left there forever. Nobody was ever allowed to benefit from it, or v'nichem sham just means that the Kohen Gadol himself couldn't use it for the next Yom Kippur. Couldn't wear the same kittel, the same Big Day Lovin that he wore the previous year. But if a Kohen had you wanted to use it, he could use it. So it says the Gemara, according to the Manava, that holds that no one was ever allowed to use the Big Day Lovin once the Kohen Gadol wore it. V'nichem sham means it's going to be there forever. No one can ever use it. So if that's the case, you see, they have a davar shenasis mitzvah, so you may lomai. And if that's the case, you have shnei ksuvim ma'ban kech, because you have chumas hadeshen, which is a davar shenasis mitzvah, so umay lomai. And now you have the Big Day Kuna, the Big Day Lovin of Yom Kippur, which is a davar shenasis mitzvah, so umay lomai. The chol shnei ksuvim ma'ban kechad, ein melamnit. But the Gemara says, honey, the Rabbanan, that's only good, according to Rabbanan, damni v'nichem shom lamash tunim gneza, then no one's ever allowed to wear it again. El, Rabda yisa damash lo yishnamash mem l'kain im kepar achad, that it's only the Kohen Gadol himself that's not allowed to wear it again. But if a Kohen Hedi wants to wear it, he can. Then vice versa, there's no isim me'ila, because if there was an isim me'ila, the Kohen Hedi wouldn't need to be able to wear it. So it's not pshat to davar shenasis mitzvah that now has an isser hana. There is no Isra'an, no. It's just a Kohen Gadol. It's a din that he can't wear it a second time. Ma'yikil Meimer, meaning it's only one Makar that Davish Anasis Mitzvasa is Ma'ilam. And if that's the case, say Binyanav. Why don't we learn from there that a Davish Anasis Mitzvasa is? Says the Gemara, "Mishum da'avoy chumas hadeshen egla rufa shnei ksuvim abon keechov." Kol shnei ksuvim abon keechin lam. Says the Gemara, because it's another pasuk, and that is egla rufa. Egla harufa was also aser v'hanah, meaning the eagle itself, after the process of beheading the eagle was done, the Torah says you can't have hanah from the eagle or from the nachal. Everything is off limits. Chura, it doesn't make sense. If there's a principle of davar shenasis mitzvah say emaya limboy, so why is there an iser hanah with the egla arufa after the arifa of the egel already took place? Now, is there an isa me'ila? It really depends whether egla arufa is kachim or it's not kachim. We spoke about this. But the point is, for now, for sure there's an isra'an. So you see a concept of a davar shenasis mitzvah, and quote unquote, Mayalim Boy. So weiter it's Shnei Ksuvim Abon Ke'echod. I mean that Shnei Ksuvim Abon Ke'echod. You can't learn from there. Now the Gemara asks, the Kashid always asks when it mentions Shnei Ksuvim Abon Ke'echod Ein Malamdin. That's all good according to the Mandam of the old. Shnei Ksuvim Abon Ke'echod Ein Malamdin. El Mandam of Malamdin. But according to the Mandam that says, Shnei Ksuvim Abon Ke'echod Malamdin. Ma'ikalam Eimer. Again, what's the Kashid? Why is it so poshut that Adovish and Asas Mitzvasi Ein Mayalim Boy? L'chair, I have two parashias in the Torah where you find Adovish and Asas Mitzvasi Umayalim Boy. Trumas Hadashen, after the Kohen did the mitzvah with the Trumas Hadashen, the Torah says, "V'soma Yitzlam is Be'ech." You can't touch it. You can't have enough from it. And then you see it again by the Egla Arufa, or maybe you see it by the Kohen Hedya. But the point is that if you hold Shnei Ksuv Mabon Ke'echem Alamdin, so learn from these two parashios that even a Dovah V'shanasas Mitzvasi is Ma'ilam Boy. So the Gemara says, "Shriya Miyutik Sivi." The reason is because he can't learn from any one of these parashios. Why? Hachak V'samai, as it relates to Trumas Hadashen, it says V'samai. V'samai is a miyut. Only here you have this halacha. Ordinarily not. Which halacha do you only have here? That even though it's nasas mitzvah, so you in this and not is going to be in this. But as it relates to anywhere else in Kachin, Dovish and nasas mitzvah, so the rule is ein mailam bai. And hasam by the egla arufa, ksiv ha arufa. I mean that it says over there ha arufa. It's for that reason that over there you're going to have that same halacha as well. Either way, says the Gemara, we have three psukim, b'chayra, to teach me the halacha that there's no me'ilah by dam. The question was, why is there no me'ilah by dam? If you can't be mayel in hektish, dam, there's nothing more hektish than dam in a way. Dam is the mechaper, dam is the meratzah, right? When you learn mesachta zvachim, it's all about the dam. Everything else is the nimsh, is a mashal. The nimshal is the dam, right? Everything is a tuffle to the dam. The dam is the mechaper, it's the avodas adam. That's the ikker. So if that's the case, the luchay, how's it possible that there's no me'ilah when it comes to dam? And the Gemara said three makaris. Ula said that the Torah says, "Vanina satif lochem ala mizbech." Oh, you see, the dam is lochem. Lochem, I have a shaykhis to it. I can benefit from it. Devei Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Shmuel's yeshiva, they said, it says, that it's true that dam has kedusha, but only for kapara, not for mi'ila. And finally, Rabbi Yochanan said, it says, who lifnei kapara, kalacha kapara, and mala acha kapara, it's poshut that there's no me'ilah, because then it's going to be a davish and asas mitzvasai. And any davish and asas mitzvasai, ein mo'ilim boy, what do you mean? Trumas Hadashen, egla rufa, big dekuna, so the Gemara addressed that. But the bottom line is, those are exceptions to the rule. As it relates to the rule is davish and asas mitzvasai, ein mo'ilim boy. And who means it has to be consistent, means lifnei kapara, also, it's going to be in a way where there's no me'ilah. But the Gemara's taina now is, v'tlasa kro'ilah. Meaning all three drushas seem to be very solid. You have Ula, you have the very Rabbi Yishmael, and you have Rabbi Yechanan. So Pashat has three pshatim, three different sources in the Torah to tell me how I know that there's no Me'ilah. But the Gemara is bothered by that. The Gemara thinks that L'chaira, Ula, Rabbi Yishmael, and Rabbi Yechanan all acknowledged the other drushas, and if that's the case, why do we need three drushas? And with that, the Gemara is going to conclude its discussion. So, the Gemara, chad lemute mi noisa, vechad lemute mi mila, vechad lemute mi toma. You're right. I don't need three drushas just for mi'ila. So, what do I do with the other two? I learned the other halachas of the Mishnah. The Mishnah said that there's four critical sugyas and halachas and kachim that don't relate to the da. You don't have Me'ila, you don't have Pigol, you don't have Noiser, and you don't have Tameh. Now that I have three drushes, we thought all three were coming to explain what? No, we can reconcile it, and we can say that the three relate to the three halachas of the Mishnah. One is coming to tell me that there's no Me'ila, one's coming to tell me there's no Noiser, and the other one's coming to tell me there's no Tameh. What's the problem? The problem is the Mishnah said four halachas. The Mishnah said Me'ila, Pigol, Noiser, and Tameh, and all you have is three drushes. So how do you know that there's no Pigol when it comes to dam, Zok to Gemara, this is Kachin 101. Avo mi pigol loit sarach kradet. Not because it's a Mishnah. Kol she'esh l'matirin bein l'adam bein l'mazbeach yavon al mishum pigol. V'dam gufei matar. We know that pigol is all about matter and nitter. The sifkaton in that idea that we need for this line in Gemara is that the only part of a carbon that's subject to the halacha is a pigol. Meaning, if someone would eat from a carb, that part of a carbon pigol, would be chayiv karas, is only a part of a carbon that's nitter. It needed something to be matarit. So, for example, the basar of a carbon needs something to be matarit ba'achila. What's matarit ba'achila? The dam. The shchita kabbalah ilacha zrika is matter the basar ba'achila. Thus, the basar is a dover sheyesh le matirin, so to speak. It's something that has something being matarit. And as a result, it's subject to the laws of Pigel. The Emurim have something that's matur. The Emurim are not allowed to go on the Mizbeach until you do this Rika. So there too, it's the Avodas Hadam that are matur the Emurim on the Mizbeach. So any chelik of a carbon that needs something to be matur it, the Shiarei HaMincha, the Koimetz is matur. So anything that has something being matur it, that has a halacha, the Shtei Alechem has something being matur. The Kifsei Atzeres, I'm matur the Shtei Alechem, etc., etc. The point is that nothing's matur the Dam. The Dam doesn't need an Avodah to be matur it to eat, you don't need it, to go on the Mizbeach, doesn't need anything to be matir to go on the Mizbeach. As a result, it's a Dover She'in Le Matirim. And a Dover She'in Le Matirim is not subject to the laws of Pesach. I'll need a drasha for that. That's Zvachim 101. So I have a drasha for the fact that there's no Me'ilu Baidam, the fact that there's no Noisa, there's no Tumah, as it relates to Pigel, I don't need a drasha. And on that note, Hadron Alach Kol HaBasa. So the Gemara now is going to make one of the great digressions of all time, and we're going to turn our attention from the sugyas of taruva, of basa v'chalav, the sugyas of issa v'heter, bittel v'shishin, mimbeminai, mimbeshainai minai. I mean, if you want to look at the broader context of Masechta Schulin, we're learning about shchita and treifas and oisei v'esbenoi and behema makasha and kisei adam. What are we going to learn about now? The next 12 or so dafin are going to be hardcore sugyas with regards to tumah for tahira. Either way, it's up to Mishnah. Or v'haroitev. Actually, a little bit of an introduction. And that is, so we're familiar with the basic concept of tumah v'tahira. And to the extent we're not, we'll become a lot more familiar with it over the next 2 or so weeks. But just as a hakdama to this Mishnah, we know that food can become tumah. Food could also transmit tumah. It's what's known as tumas oichlan. In order for food to become tumah or to transmit tumah, it has to be a proper shear. The shear of oichlan as it relates to tumah is a kebeya. Even though shiuri achil is usually pekazayas, but as it relates to tumas oichlan, the shear is kebeya. A nevela also has tumah. A nevela is actually a tumah chamura in a sense, in that it's a source of tumah. Right? There are different sources of tumah. A mace is a source of tumah. A sheretz is a source of tumah. A zava, zava, a nida, a yeledes. These are all avos hatumah. They're sources of tumah. Nevela is tumah. Nevela is asa b'achila. Nevela is also tumah. That's one of the big differences between a nevela and a treifa. A nevela and a treifa are both asa b'achila. They're both chayvi lavin. The significant difference between nevela and treifa is that in addition to a nevela being asa b'achila, it's also tumah. So you learn about nevelas when you learn Masechta Schulin. You also learn a lot about nevela when you go through sugis of tumah v'tahira, because nevela is something that really straddles two worlds. It straddles the worlds of machalei sasurois and of tumah v'tahira, as opposed to a treifa. A treifa had a kosher shechita in the sense that it was metahirit midei nevela. It's the loss of akilah. There's an issa treifa. But as it relates to tumah, there's no tumah. But the point is that nevela has tumah. What's the sheer nevela as it relates to tumah? Kizayas. So the sheer tumas oichlin is bekebeya. The sheer tumas nevela is bekizayas. The halacha that the first sugi is over here in Perek Ha'or V'haroitev is going to discuss is, what if you have food that has something attached to it, something naturally attached to it? So for example, the pit of a fruit. So the pit, is it part of the fruit or is it not part of the fruit? As it relates to the halachas of tumah v'tahira. And really, you have to look at it from three perspectives. Is it part of the fruit? Is it mitzarev to the shear? Tumas oichlin is b'kebeya. So is it mitzarev to the shear beya? Number two, what happens if the pit touches a davar tameh? Does the fruit now become tummy? If it's part of the fruit touched the davar tummy. If it's not part of the fruit, then the fruit did not touch a davar tummy. What if the fruit was tummy and the pit of the tummy fruit touched something that was tar? Does that davar tar now become tummy? Did it come in contact with the davar tummy? Depends. If the pit is part of the fruit, then it came in contact with the davar tummy. If it's not part, then it didn't become part of the... That's one thing that's going to be discussed. Another thing that's going to be discussed is, what about the peel? What the peel of a fruit? Or let's say the skin of basar, the skin of an avela, for that matter, the ur. So how do you look at the ur? Do you look at the ur as being part of the basar, or do you not look at it part of the basar? Again, three nafkaminas, as relates to the shir, as it relates to if the basar was tahar, and now the ur came in contact with a davar tameh, does it now become tameh? Or in the reverse, if the basar was tameh, and a davar tar came in contact with the ur, would it be tameh or not? What about the hear? Let's say there's a little fuzz on the fruit, but let's say the hear of the ur of an Avela. How does that relate as it relates to Halacha? As we'll see, there are three categories when you talk about things that are attached to Eichel. The first, such as a pit, is what's referred to as a yad. The yad is something that's used just to be able to handle the fruit. So a pit is part of the fruit in the sense that you can carry the fruit by holding, by the stem. I keep saying the pit. It's the stem. You can carry the fruit by carrying it, by holding onto the stem. It's considered a yad. The ur of basar, for example, is considered part of it because it's a shomer, meaning it's a yad. You can carry, obviously, the basar by holding the ur, but it's also a shomer in the sense that it protects it. And then something like here, it's not really a yad, it doesn't really protect it. So it's really going to be three categories when you talk about things that are mechuber to oichel with regards to the three nafkaminas that we just mentioned. So you have to look at what that thing is. Does it fall into the category of yad? It's merely something that's there for convenience purposes to help you handle it. Is it a shomer? It's protecting it, like the peel, like the skin? Or is it none of the above? Regardless, on that note, it's up to Mishnah. Or the R of a behemoth, the haroitev, we know what that is. The kippa, that's the little bit of basar that falls to the bottom of the pot. The olal, the Gemara is going to discuss what olal is. The hatsamos, and the bones. The hagidin, the hakronayim, the horns. The hatlofayim, and the hoofs. Mitstarfin letame tumas oichlin, avaloi tumas nevelas. So if you have an oichel and you want to know whether this oichel has tumas oichlin, you want to know if it has a sheer beya. So the ur and the reitiv and the kippa and the olal and the hatsamos and the gidin and the kronayim klofayim are all mitstarf to the tumas oichlin. Avaloi tumas oichlin. But if you want to know if you have the shir kezayis for tumas nevelus, the halachas it's not mitzdarf. Ki it's a boy. Another difference between tumas oichlan and tumas nevelus is ashoichad the hemet meyer loivik echavim. If somebody shechts a hemet meyer and he does a loivik echavim umefarcheses and it's still alive, the halachas is matame tumas oichlan. It's going to be tummy tumas oichlan. Avaloi tumas nevelus. The Gemara is going to discuss this. Achet tumas or achiyat this is roishin. There's no tumas nevelus until it actually dies. If it's umefarcheses, there'll be tumas oichlan but not tumas nevelus. Riba the tummy tumas oichlan mimasher riba the tummy tumas nevelus. And what you see from these two cases mentioned in Mishnah is that it's easier for something to become tamei tumas oichlin than it is tumas nevelus. The first is you see all the things mentioned in the Mishnah, the ur, the roitiv, etc., are mitstarif to the shir tumas oichlin, and not mitstarif to the shir tumas nevelus. And then the second halacha, which we don't know what that means now, you see also it relates to tumas oichlin, not to tumas nevelus. The point is that's what we need for now is riba letame tumas oichlin mimasha riba letame tumas nevelus. Another halacha, Rabbi Yehuda says as it relates to the olol, which Rashi says mefarish b'gemara ha olol hamechun. If it's gathered together, then it's possible that you will be chayv again. Everything will be discussed in the Gemara. But the first halacha of the Mishnah, which is going to be the topic of the beginning of the parak, and that is ha'or, the haroite, the akipa, the olal, that some is the gidin, the krenayim, the tlafayim. They're all mitstarif for the shir tumas oichlin. So if you have oichel and this or attached to it, or this kippa that was cooked with it and now it's on it, or the horns, the hooves of the... So you want to know if you have the shir beya for tumas oichlin, they're mitzdarif. But if you want to know if you have the shir kezayis for tumas nevela, that is not mitzdarif. So Okta Gemara, Tanina lo the Tana Rabbanan. This Mishnah supports something that's before us in a braisa. What does it say in a braisa? So shoimrim lo tumah kala, v'loi shoimrim lo tumah chamura. Something that's a shoimer of oichel is mitzdarif for the shir of tumah kala. Tumas Oichlin is considered Tumah Kala, but it's not mitzdarif for Tumah Chamura, it's not mitzdarif to the Shir Kezayis of Nevela, which is considered a Tumah Chamura. Now, incidentally, why is Oichlin considered a Tumah Kala, and why is Nevela considered a Tumah Chamura? So this easy answer is because Nevela is a source of Tumah. It's a Tumah Chamura. A Nevela is like a Nida. It's a source of Tumah. It's like a Vetzaira. It's like a mace. An availer, that's what it is, a dead animal. It's like a maze. The point is that it's a source of Tumah. Oichel is never a source of Tumah. How does food become Tumah? Has an apple become Tumah? It would come in contact with a davar Tumah. So it would have to be wet first, Masachtas Machshir, and then afterwards it would become Tumah. But either way, so Nevela is a Tumah Chamura. Oichel in general is a Tumah Kala. You see from our Mishnah that the Shomer is Mitzdara for Tumah Kala. It's not Mitzdara for the Tumah Chamur. Now, which parts of the Mishnah are considered Shomerim? So the Rishonim say the two things in the Mishnah. The Ur is a Shomer. The Ur, the skin, protects the food, and the Atzamos are considered Shomerim as well. So from the fact that the Ur and the Atzamos are Mitztarif for Tumas Oichlin, but they're not Mitztarif for Tumas Nevelos, you see, Shomerim are Mitztarif for Tumas Kala, Shomerim are not Mitztarif for Tumas Chamur. So how do you know that? The Tana of Rabbi Yishmael, I'll call Zera, Zeru. V'chiyipam and v'lasim al kol zera zerua asher yizareya tarhu. So pasuk sounds a little wordy. It is, and Chazal were bothered by it, right? V'chiyipam and v'lasim al kol zera zerua asher yizareya. Zera zerua means on a something that grows. Asher yizareya. What does asher yizareya coming to teach me? Now this pasuk says tarhu. How's that possible? V'chiyipam and v'lasim. The context are the shmoyne shrotzim that are tameh. When they're dead. So the nevela of one of the Shemayna Shratzim fell on Zera Zerua, Ashe Yizareya, Tomehu, I mean Toharu. How's it possible that it's going to be Tar? So what's the answer? It weren't wet. It's Mesachtes Machshir. But in order for food to become Tomeh, it has to first be wet. The Bailam has to be okay with it. Chiyitan, Tumi the Chiyutan. See, he has to be okay with it. But the point is that if it wasn't wet, then the Halacha is Toharu. But either way, Chazal were bothered with the wordiness of this pasuk. Kol Zera Zerua Ashe Yizareya. Say Chazal, Kederek Shebnei, Adam Yitzion Lizriya. You know what's coming to tell me? It's coming to tell me that when you look at the food from a Tumah and Tahira perspective, as this pasuk is discussing, you look at the food in the way that it's sowed, in the way that it's planted, in the way that it's put in the ground. And kederach shev the other mitzvah is ria chita. If you're planting a chita, you'll do it bikli pasa together with its husk. Usayra bikli pasa va'adasha bikli pasa. Meaning, when you eat a chita, you remove its husk. Then you're going to eat it. You're not going to eat it together with the klipa. You're not going to eat the soira and the adashim together with its klipa. But when you're zareya it, you will be zareya. You don't care. You'll zareya it together with its klipa. What the pasuk is saying is that when you look at the chita, soira, and the adashim from a tuma perspective, you look at it. What's the oichel? What would you consider the oichel if you were being zareya? Not if you were eating it, even though we're discussing tumas oichel. But it doesn't matter. How would I look at this oichel? What would be the chashi? What would be part of the oichel if I was being zareya? If I was being zareya, the klipa would be part of the oichel. I'm not going to remove the klipa before I plant this. It's part of it. If it's part of it with regard, that's ashei zareya. That's the Shulchan Aruch of what defines the Oichel as it relates to the Shir Tumas Leichel. Very gishmak. And therefore we say that these three, the Klippas, which are the Shaimrim, we have to speak to, right? Not sure how that stems. But the Klippas, which are the Shaimrim, and this is Sugya anyway, so the Halacha is that they're Mitznarif for the Shir. Now, we're discussing Tumas Leichel. That's what the Pasuk's talking about. The Pasuk's talking about an Oichel, where one of the Shmoyne Shrotzen fell on it. That's good old-fashioned Tumas Oichlin. So you see the Klippas Mitztarif. How do you know that this Shemim not Mitztarif for Tumas Chamura? The Tanu Rabbanu, we learned it in the Braisa, it says regarding the Nevela. V'chiyomis min abehema ashi lochem la'achlo, hanegeya bin Nevlaso yitma ad arav. So that's the pasuk that discusses not the Isra Chila of Nevela, but rather the Tuma of Nevela. And the pasuk says, bin Nevlaso, v'loi ba'ar, she'in olav kizayis basar. As opposed to if somebody would touch the ar that doesn't have a kezayis basar, and it sounds like even if the ur is being mashlim, the shir kezayis, but if you don't have a kezayis basar and you come in contact with the ur, no, it's hanigeya bin nevlasa. You have to touch the actual basar, not touching the ur. Yochla hanigeya kineged basar me'achoyrov lo yeitami. I would think if somebody touches the animal, me'achoyrov kineged habasar, it sounds like you're not touching the basar. I would think you're not tamei tamed loy ma'yitma. So at the same time, you have a riboy that says, kol hanigeya bin nevlasa yitma. So Nivlasa is a miyut, but Yitma, the yud, should have said Tameh, Yitma is a ribu. It says, well, my comma, how do you read this braisa? Oh, my rabbi, v'amri l'kadich, sirim mechzavachil. This is the way we read the braisa. V'nivlasa, v'lor ba'ur shein olav kezayis, basa bar mashim l'kezayis. The first braisa is coming to say that if somebody would touch an avela, he would touch a kezayis, but it's only kezayis together with the ar. Meaning there's no kezayis basa. Together with the ar, you have a kezayis. The halacha is no tumah. That bin of loss is coming to my mind. What about if you had a kezayis basa and you now touch the ar? I would think that being that you touched the ar, you didn't touch the basa itself, you shouldn't be tami tam. I mean, you shouldn't even look at the ar as a handle of this basa. So that say that through touching the ar, it's as if I touched the basa. That as it relates to that, it is going to be considered as if you touched the basa. In other words, what the Bryce is saying is two very important halachas, which is going to segue very much into tomorrow's daf, and that is that the ur of a nevela, on the one hand, is not considered part of the nevela with regards to tumah. On the other hand, it is considered part of the nevela as it relates to tumah, in the sense that it's not mitstarif to the shir kezayis. It's not considered part of the basa. Nevela has a shir. All tumah has a shir. So the shir of tumas nevela is a kezayis. What if I have less than a kezayis basa, but the ur is mashlim the shir kezayis? That loch is, you're not going to have Tumas Nevela. So the Ur is not considered part of the Nevela as it relates to being mitzarif to the Shir Kazayis, but at the same time, it is considered part of the Nevela in the sense that if I have a Kazayis Basar anyways, and I don't need the Ur to be mitzarif to Shir, because it can't be mitzarif to Shir. But the question is, did I touch the Basar or not touch the Basar? If I touch it via the Ur, it's as if I touched the Basar. So the first part of the Brayse, the Reish is coming to tell me that the Ur is not mitzarif. The second part of the Brayse is coming to tell me that even though it's not mitzarif, it's considered part of the Nevela in terms that if I touch the Ur without making direct contact to the Basar, it's as if I touched the Basar. The bottom line is we had a Makar, we had two Brayses. One Brayse is a Makar that for Tumah Kala, Tumas Oichlin, the halacha is that the Shomer is mitzarif, and I have another Brayse that tells me that as it relates to the Tumah Chamur of Tumas Nevelis, the Shomer is not mitzarif. The Pasuk that says, I'll call Zera Zeruah Sheyizareah, that teaches me that when you're looking at Tumas Oichlin, what's the Shear? The Shear is what would be considered the Oichlin if you were coming to plant it. Being that you plant it together with its Shomer, together with its Klippa, the Klippa is mitzarif to the Shear. At the same time, as it relates to Tumas Nevela, it says, Benevlasa Veloy Ba'ar, or is Nismait, that it can't be mitzarif to the shir. Either way, this is very much a segue into tomorrow's stuff.